Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
This is an amazing chapter. All of them are, but they're all amazing in their own unique ways. There's a few things I want you to see. In this chapter, Jesus, there's really kind of three characters. There's the thief, which is really the enemy. There's the shepherd and good shepherd, which is Jesus. And then there's the door, which is also Jesus. And then there's the doorkeeper, which is the Father. And there's some things that really bless me. It says in verse 3, "To him whom the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and leads them out. And when he puts forth all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, because they know his voice." Now the idea here that in verse 4, "And when he puts forth all of his own, he goes before them." Now the centerpiece of this chapter is, again, Jesus is still speaking to the Pharisees who were questioning him and were offended with him in light of the fact that the man who was born blind had been healed. So it's in that context that Jesus says, "The thief comes to kill, steal, to destroy. But I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly." Now there's more to abundant life than being healed physically, but that is in the context here. This man who had been born blind was now healed, and Jesus called that his blindness thievery, because that's what the enemy does. He comes to kill, steal, and to destroy, to steal a person's joy and their hope, to kill their hope for life, not just kill physically, but to kill everything about them that God has called to come alive. But Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. There are three people in the world. There are those who are dead spiritually, the lost, those who are alive, Christians, and those who are fully alive, Christians, because they're experiencing life and life more abundant. Being just alive spiritually is not enough. Christ came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Jesus didn't just come so your sins would be forgiven. Jesus didn't just come so you'd have a place in heaven. Jesus didn't just come so he could meet you in the Eucharist. Jesus didn't just come so whatever, you go to church or learn worship songs. Jesus came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Therefore, that is his will for each one of us. And if we're not experiencing that, then it's not his fault. So he wants us to hear his voice so he can show us what's happening. When I used to read this scripture again and again, I think I told this story recently. I would read this over and over again back in the day, a long time ago, when I was suffering from clinical depression and clinical anxiety 46 years ago. And I would read it again and again. I guess it sounds so wonderful, but I'm not experiencing this. And he said, "I came that you," and I knew that that was a plural, so that meant all of us. And one day, something really simple came clear to me, is that Jesus can't lie, and that he came that I might have life and have it more abundant. And I wasn't experiencing it, and it couldn't be his fault. And so I began to pray a simple prayer, "Lord, show me what it is I'm doing or thinking that's preventing me from experiencing what you promised is the very reason you came." So that's the centerpiece of this chapter. And so when he says, again, he's speaking to these Pharisees. And again, when he says in verse 4, "When he puts forth all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him." Jesus came before us in the incarnation. We're now following that. We're coming after that. Jesus came before us in incarnation and did what? See, Jesus is the door. Jesus said in John 14, he said, "I'm the way, I'm the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." And the very fact that Jesus' name is door means that God is accessible. The very fact that Jesus' name is Word tells us that God is relational. In Revelation 1, it says, Jesus says, his name is Voice. Again, God is communicative. He's accessible, relational, wants to communicate with us. That's who he is. And Jesus made that all possible. Jesus is our door into relationship with God. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Now, this way of life, which is life and life more abundant, the way of life that Jesus came and lived is the example of this life and life more abundant. He came before me in the incarnation, and as a spirit-filled human, clothed in your humanity. I say that all the time, but understand, he was clothed in your unique version of the flesh. All the weaknesses and all the things that you carry uniquely in your personhood, Jesus was tempted in every one of those ways. Everything that you're tempted to give into, everything that you give into that's not healthy, that's not good, healthy emotions, that's not normal from his perspective, he's been tempted to do that. He understands your version of the flesh. He clothed himself in your version of the flesh, in you, and he showed us the way that is life and life more abundant, the life he lived. So again, you've heard me say this, but it's really a cool thing to hear. He didn't just come to be an example for us. He was that for sure. But he came to be an example of us. And the very fact that clothed in your humanity, Jesus Christ lived the life and life more abundant, that's the way of life he lived, is proof to me and should be proof to you that he can live that life through you now. He already did it before. Hear me? The life that Jesus lived as a human is proof that that life is yours to be experienced. The second thing it says about Jesus in this chapter is pretty cool. There's a bunch of things, but this one. It says, I'm the good shepherd, verse 11. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Not only did Jesus come before us and model the way of life that is life and life more abundant, therefore proof that human beings can experience that. Human beings like you and me can experience that. Jesus laid down his life so that you and I could walk through the door, which is him, and know that. Well, how did he lay down his life? On the cross. He laid down his life for the sheep. Now hear me. Jesus didn't come and lay down his life to satisfy the anger of a God who's in a bad mood because of our sin. He came and laid down his life for sheep. Sheep are some of the most vulnerable creatures in the world. And one of the things I love about my lab, she looks like one and she has the disposition of a little lamb, though she's not so little. She reminds me of sheep a lot. Jesus came and laid down his life, he's a good shepherd, for the sheep. He came and died so that there would be a way for you to be set free from not just what you've done, but from what you have become, that you might experience life and life more abundant. That's who he is. And you never question if God is for you. It's hard to cop an attitude towards a God like that. He came not so you'll be miserable. If you're miserable, it's not his fault. He laid down his life for you, that you might have life and have it more abundant. It's the thief who kills and steals and destroys. So if you're not experiencing life and life more abundant, you're hearing the voice of the enemy in some area of your life, and you need to repent of that. Again, repent. The word just means to think with. Stop thinking with the enemy and start thinking with God. Now, the third thing that Jesus says, it's so relevant to me, several times in this chapter, he says, and my sheep hear my voice and follow me. So Jesus came and modeled to us as a human this life and life more abundant. He gave his life so that we might experience it. And now that we've been joined to him, he leads us in following him in experiencing this life. Not by standing in front of us, but he lives in me. He's joined himself to me. I've been grafted into him. And by his voice, he leads us into this life and life more abundant. Everything Jesus speaks to us, he's speaking to us from this context. So I may find myself in a situation and fear rises up in me. And Jesus, the good shepherd who I've been grafted to, says to me, Chuck, I have faced this kind of thing before and overcome it. For in this world, Jesus said, you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome this world. I've gone before you, dressed in your humanity, and I've conquered this before. I have faced this before without fear. I'm not afraid here. I've just heard his voice. He wants me to follow his lead and trust him with that. Surrender to that and go, yes, Lord, we're not afraid. And then move forward. Or yes, Lord, you don't get offended. Or yes, Lord, you don't gossip. Or yes, Lord, you don't walk around with an attitude or angry. Or yes, Lord, you don't want to get even. Or yes, Lord, you're not a controller. Whatever it might be. You're hardwired to hear his voice. Every day, you're either listening to the voice of the thief who's come to kill, steal, and to destroy, which is tragic because you've been grafted into the Good Shepherd, and it's by his voice that he leads us. And as we follow him, then we get to experience in union with him that life and life more abundant that he's already proven to us that he knows how to live. You're not facing anything he hasn't already faced, and he's already overcome. Will you trust him? Will you hear his voice and trust him and experience the peace he has about it? You're not going to face anything tomorrow that Jesus hasn't already faced and overcome. Will you simply surrender and trust him and follow his lead in living this way of life that results in a life and life more abundant? I don't know if that sounds complicated to you. It's the simplest thing in the world. And because it's so simple, it seems complicated because we want to make it so much harder. And it's just not. It's just not. Father, I pray for each of us, and not just each of us, Lord, every person that you've given me stewardship over, that this would be a season, because springtime always seems to be, of massive breakthrough, permanent breakthrough. And Lord, as you've told us before, that we wouldn't just want a breakthrough, have an encounter so we have a breakthrough, but you want us to have a breakthrough that brings us into a place called perpetual encounter, where we're just hearing your voice and following your lead in this way of life that brings life and life more abundant. We bless you, God, that you've made it so simple that even sheep can follow you. Amen.